So pleased that my wife proclaimed on video that I can still distract her. We're in a place that is nation changes. Last year, about this time, one of the large churches in Hillcrest, City Hill, said to a number of churches in Hillcrest, "Hey, do you want to be a part of this initiative?" And so Nation Change, we said yes. And we joined with them last year, and then they said, "Hey, do you want to be a part of this again?" We said, "Absolutely." And Nation Changes is an opportunity for us as a church to become part of something bigger. So we get to go and do mission, which God wants us to do. He wants us to be missionaries. But we get to do it for a very limited time. There's a date, there's a time, there's a cost, and then it's done. We're not asking anybody to commit for a year or two. We're just saying, find one of these things, commit to it, do it, and then we'll hear how it went. So we are part of six different churches that are doing this, 250 missions, and each church is preaching a similar message today. So the message you heard last week was a message that was preached in those six churches. Today you hear this message. Next week you just hear the screaming and shouting of the crowds because we're doing comrades, but many churches would do message number three, and then we launch Nation Changes. And for about a month, we do the missions on that sheet of paper. So we six churches, 250 missions, give or take. We're hoping that everything on the big sheet is going to raise about 1.1 million rand for missions, and we are going to harness about 1,300 people. Volunteers. So we're part of something much bigger as a church. And it's very exciting to know that for the month of July, middle of June, July, we're doing something in our community. Stuff that just would not happen if we didn't have this opportunity. So just a quick update. You got the latest hot off the press little doodaf. If you didn't get one, it's because you didn't sit in the right place, obviously. But I know there's three left here on the front. Oh, there's three there, three there, three there. So there's plenty, don't worry. But the green tick on that page means that there's a leader that has been found to head up that ministry. So you see there's five areas that have got green ticks. That simply means there's a leader. The names are on the board at the back. So if you think, wow, I really wanted to help with Malweni Gogos, but I see there's a green tick, so I'm going to do something else. No. Go see who's in charge of that. If that's really what God's leading you to, just go contact that person. Say, hey, can I join in? So, for instance, there was some confusion about the holiday club. We ask that some people come and make sarmies and snacks for the kids during the week. And you will see that is, MO1. You can see where my heart is with children's ministry. We said five volunteers. But that means that five people are going to make a lot of sarmies. So if there's 20 volunteers, we're okay with that. The green tick simply means that somebody is heading that up. In some of the other missions, we landed up with some people saying, I'll give some money. So you'll see M18, it says sponsored. So that part of the money is covered. M02, the money is covered. But we don't have anybody heading up that ministry. So when you say, that's mine, I'm going to do that, we're going to hand you whatever is required to fulfill that mission. So I'm going to be at the back after the service, manning the table. Jade's not well. She's still doing the online stuff. It was all arriving on your phone. She's in bed with her laptop, busy working from home. But she manned the table last week. I'm going to man the table after the service, and you can come and chat to me, and we can get these things underway. I'm very pleased that one of the things that was taken by my small group, and I didn't even initiate that. My small group leader said, we're going to do that. Is everybody in? And we said, sign us up for the 17th. It's a public holiday, but we're going to work on that public holiday. So we're doing well. You'll remember last week that Shoba shared, and he asked that question, what now? And his message was coming on the heels of what had happened the week before. Remember, we had the baptisms. We had young people confirming what they believed, and then it was Pentecost, so it was a big Sunday, and then a week later, Shoba said, what now? What now? We have this high point, what now? What do we do next? And then he also took us to the book of Exodus, and where God asked Moses, what's that in your hand? What have you got? And what are you going to do with it? Because he had a specific task to do with that staff that was in his hand. I want to take you back a little bit before that part of the story. Before this happens, we've got a burning bush, a moment of, woo, hey, imagine that. Come on, guys, a bush that is burning, but it does not burn up. And then God speaking out of that bush. Whew, man, I wish I had some of those bushes in my garden. Come on, Lord. But we've got this moment, and then he's told, take off your shoes, you're standing on holy ground, which he does. God speaks to him, and God commissions him, gives him a call on his life, and says, this is what you're going to do. We'll see in Exodus 3, verse 10. So now go, this is God speaking, I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Whew, what a moment, what a high point. I'm excited to see what's going to happen next. I'm going to read a little bit in Exodus 3, and I'm sharing from Exodus 3 and Exodus 4 this morning, because there's a lot here that happens for the people of Israel and for Moses. But let's read that Exodus 3, 16 to 22. This is God speaking. He says, go assemble the elders of Israel and say to them, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, appeared to me and said, I have watched over you and have seen what has been done to you in Egypt. And I have promised to bring you up out of your misery in Egypt, into the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey. The elders of Israel will listen to you. Then you and the elders are to go to the king of Egypt and say to him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. Let us take a three-day journey into the wilderness to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God. But I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless a mighty hand compels him. So I will stretch out my hand and strike the Egyptians with all the wonders that I will perform among them. After that, he will let you go. And I will make the Egyptians favorably disposed towards this people, so that when you leave, you will not go empty-handed. Every woman is to ask her neighbor and any woman living in her house for articles of silver and gold and for clothing, which you will put on your sons and daughters, and so you will plunder the Egyptians. Burning bush, holy ground, God's voice. And at this point, if we didn't know the rest of the story, we'd be like, this guy's running to tell the elders what has happened. He's like, come guys, we're going to go. Let's go to Pharaoh. Let's tell him the good news. Bad news. Good news. For us, bad news for him. Hey? And then, I mean, the provision. He will let you go, God says. And then ask your neighbors and you will plunder the Egyptians. I will set you free and I will give you provision. You will go. You won't go empty-handed. You'll go with lots of stuff. What an incredible promise. But what happens? Oh, Moses. He doesn't. Oh, man. Even if I had the burning bush in my backyard, how would I respond at this point? Well, we see how he responds. He responds with some excuses. And maybe if we're honest, we've seen some of these excuses in our own lives. Maybe we've just thought them. Maybe we've said them. I see some of these excuses in my life. And now Moses is full of them. It's like, if you've had children, you know that they can be creative with their excuses. And both my children are sitting here, so I can't share any stories from our past. But you know, and here, God, the Father, is talking to Moses, his child. And Moses comes up with excuses. There's four of them. Well, there's five, but let me just give you the first four. I don't have what it takes. I don't know enough. What if I fail? I'm not skilled enough. Does that sound familiar? Did you ever think any of those things or say any of those things? But what happens? Each time he gives these excuses, there's this great answer coming from Almighty God. I don't have what it takes. I will be with you. I will be with you. I don't know enough. I have sent you. In those couple of words, it's not just, I will send you, I have sent you. It's, I'm going with you and I will give you what you need in those moments. What if I fail? I will use you. It doesn't matter if you failed or not. I'm using you. I'm making this happen. I'm not skilled enough. I will help you. What incredible promises from Almighty God. Now, you'll notice that as they went up, it says M and God. Obviously, M is Moses, but M could also be me. If you think about it, it could be me. Sometimes these may have run around in your head. I just want to jump quickly back to last week again. And I don't want to take away anything from what Shobha shared. He said, what now? Was his big question. What now? And you know, we cannot ask that question once a year after Confirmation Sunday or after Pentecost Sunday. We can't just once a year say, oh, what now? I believe what now should be a watchword for the church. What now after today? What now? What now after my Bible study, my quiet time? What now after my small group? What now, Lord? What now? Jesus said, go. I thought about this. Pews really helped to reinforce the message of Jesus Christ. Hey, you couldn't sit in a pew all day long. At some point you were like, I'm going to go because this is no longer comfortable. And what do we do in the church? I've been in churches with pews. Funny story about the church in Edenvale. The Presbyterian Church in Edenvale has got pews. And they put in pew warmers. Like underneath there's a tube running. But they didn't have enough money to do every single row. So it's every second row. So in wintertime, everybody sits in which rows? 1, 3, 5, 7. Yeah, every second row. But we make the church as comfortable as possible. I've been in churches where there's cushions on the pew. We try and make church as comfortable as possible. Where Jesus' message is go, and we say, let's make this as comfortable as possible. I think there's a place for pews. But let's get back to Moses or M. Listen again to God's responses. I will be with you. I have sent you. I will use you. I will help you. He's not looking for perfection. He's looking for willing. And then we come to Moses' final excuse. But Moses said, pardon your servant, Lord. Please send somebody else. He's really saying, I don't want to go. Some translators, I love this, some of the other translators translate this as, please send anyone else. I mean, our version says someone else, but anyone else. Moses is like, I don't care who goes, just not me. Just not me. And then what is God's response? He's had this incredible response of, I'm with you, I'm going with you, I'm enabling you, I'm equipping you. And then God's anger burns against Moses. There are things that we say and do that don't always sit well with Almighty God. And this is the thing that God did not like. His anger burned against Moses. I wonder why this could possibly be. There's two possible reasons, I think. Our unwillingness might show that we are forgetting all that he has done for us. Or our unwillingness might be that we are ignoring all that he wants to do for us. I think Moses is forgetting all that God has done up to that point. If you think about all that God had done in Moses' life up to that point where he says, come, you're going to be used mightily by me. He had done a whole lot in his life already. The fact that he was alive is because of Almighty God. He would have been killed with all of the other Egyptian children, but he was placed in a basket and lived. Moses ignoring God's heart to bring transformation to an entire people. Are we forgetting all that God has done for us? So this year, we celebrate 50 years here as a church. And I know there's a lot of people sitting here that don't know this. So here we are. I'm going to give you a history lesson of God's goodness to us as a church. So this little snippet comes out of a, I've got this on my computer and every now and then I go back to it. And we are here because somebody in Pinetown, Westville said, hey, we need to plant a church. We need another church. And the year that they put us here, that they sent people here, they sent people to six other places. Seven churches were planted in the same time out of that church. Five of them survive today. And this was in a magazine somewhere. The congregation was established in January 1974 as a preaching station of the Pinetown Westville Presbyterian Church. Its beginnings were small. 15 to 20 adults and about 19 Sunday school pupils gathered regularly in worship in the tiny moth hall in Hillcrest. I think there's the few remaining pictures of the moth hall experience. As the existence of their service gradually became known, however, numbers and interest grew. After 2 years, when the moth hall had become too small to accommodate all the worshippers, a move was made to St. Dominic's Hall across the road. The congregation now numbered 100 adults and 93 Sunday school children and has again outgrown its meeting place. And so, a hall has been built on Old Main Road on a site which the Pinetown congregation bought in 1974. Somebody didn't only think we'll send some people, the same time they sent people, they said, we're going to buy a piece of land. We're here to stay. This is where we're going. The stone just is behind this wall that says when this was dedicated. It was dedicated by the moderator, Reverend Dr. D.S. Watson, 28th of May, 1978. We are here today because of the faithfulness of people 50 years ago. And the goodness of God for 50 years. Let me tell you a story about God's goodness. So this amazing construction, somebody's going to tell me exactly how long it was meant to be. But this, where that hall is, this was there. It was a prefabricated building. And I remember I was running the children's program on a Friday night. Somebody kicked a ball, boom, and those panels there, one of those panels just to the left of that door, oh, it's gone, that door, oh, sorry, the screen's happening at the back there, just to the left of that door, okay, don't say left again because that's confusing. Oh, you can see that little plant as this kid kicked the ball, boom, it went straight through the wall. I'm like, what? So I had a look-see and the white ants had eaten away everything. And all that was left was a sheet of paint. We realized there was a problem. And so we said, we need a new solution for this. So that came down. We took it down. It wasn't the kids with the soccer ball. Okay, we took it down. And then we said, we need something there. And after much deliberation, we put up a park home. And clearly that was the wrong decision. 3 months after the park home went up, we had a tornado come through here. It was, park home. 2008 was when we put in the park home. A little while later, the November, the storm came through, and it was like a tornado that came through here. Joshua and Mavis were on the property, and they said it was like a black snake from the sky coming through here. And that, these pictures just show some of the devastation. We couldn't get around the parking lot because we had two avo trees. We've got one. The other one was, it was almost like it was twisted off and put down in the parking lot. And there's some more pictures. I've got a whole lot here because this was a, you can see the little alleyway here. You see why we're changing the roof? Half of it's on the floor. No, we fixed it then, don't worry. That's what the ceiling looked like. Don't look at the ceiling now because you're going to notice that there's a tile missing. Now we're all looking at the ceiling, right? It's on that side of that beam, but don't look there now. So that's where the park home was. That's where the park home was. And it was taken. You can see those steel girders on the bottom of it. It was taken and lifted and was lying next to the jungle gym. Some of the panels of that prefab building were in the office park across the road. This was no little storm. And then we decided, well, we need to build something that's not going to just blow away. So we built this new building. That was when it was opened. And then What happened? Oh, we also changed the foyer because the foyer ended. You wouldn't have sat there this morning. So sorry. It ended just by those pillars. But we said, well, we need some more space. And so we got a little bit more space. And then back in the day, this photograph's a rare photo of what this used to be a school stage, and the pastor used to be up there. I like the elevation, but sometimes you've got to be brought down to earth. But the pastor would be there, and everybody was facing this way. We're a church of movement in 90 degrees and 180 degrees increments, because then we moved and we built this little bit here, and we used to worship this way. And I remember when I got here, that's what was happening, and the screen was like at a giddy angle against that back wall, and if you were sitting and you were fourth row back, you couldn't see the screen. No, if you were standing, you couldn't see the screen properly because the people in front of you. It was really quite an odd arrangement. And I'm going to forever be blamed for turning this church by 90 degrees because that's what I did. And I remember saying, we need to do this. And I said to my leadership, this is what I want it to look like. And I put tape on the ground where this was going to be. And we just moved everything around. That's what it looked like. That's what this looked like. The first Sunday we had it. It was just on the floor. I was with the common people. It was really tough. It was really tough. I jest. But we've gone through a number of different changes. And then we had this vision that we needed to be connecting more. And we had tea and coffee in this hall here, and we just felt people were getting lost. And there was a vision for the coffee shop. And I'll tell you this, that it was one of those miraculous moments. The vision for the coffee shop was brought to our session meeting on a Tuesday night. This is what I think we must do. And that very day, we had somebody give a donation of money for building up the church. And the cost of the coffee shop and the amount of money we got was the same. The very meeting. And so we built it. Yes. Amen. Amen. And so that happened. And what else? Okay. So that's a lot about buildings. Come on, Brian, tell us about people. So Peter Benson had the vision, and I had the vision, very similar time, of planting a church. My heart was challenged by the fact that we were planted and we had done nothing. For years and years and years, we just sat here not starting another church anywhere. And I said, that's just wrong. It's just wrong. The church has to grow. And we looked around. Peter and I looked around. Peter looked more than me. And God was speaking through this whole thing. And we started in 2011. We had the idea. In 2016, a small group started in Mulwenny, an area where there were not a lot of churches. I think we're just one of two churches in that area. And we started a small group there. And eventually it grew. And it was meeting in a school. Imagine going to church and sitting behind a school desk. People did that for a while. And now we have somebody that's ministering there every Sunday. We've got about 60 or 70 people that meet every single Sunday. And Tommy is just a blessing. We need to get him to preach here again at some point so that you can see him again, because he's very busy that side. But the church has grown under his leadership and is a beautiful congregation of folk. So we did that from there. Yes, amen, Pete, thanks. And then every year we do the holiday club. I looked for one picture because I've got hundreds of them. And there's Kelsey. I said to her yesterday, I said, hey, you're going to be on the screen, kiddo. But when we got here, we started with holiday clubs. And now every year we run holiday clubs and we have over 100 kids. And the beauty is that it's not just a ministry of Brian and Shoba. It's a ministry of the church. We've got people who volunteer to make Samis. Those are my favorite people. But for obvious reasons. But we run the coffee shop while the parents are dropping off their kids. And we minister to them. We invite them. They come here to drop off their kid and they get blessed with free cappuccino and just connecting with people who are in the church, adults. And they go, wait a second, this is different. I remember one year at the end of a day, I was outside there, the doors were closed. We're waiting for the program to end and there was a woman standing there and she just happened to say to her friend, when I was younger, I used to come to the youth group in this church. I'm not in any church now. Some people are just that close to being in church. We think everybody's far away. Some people are just one step away. And maybe it's going to happen for people at Holiday Club. The Thursday of the Holiday Club, I'll just share this with you, we have an altar call. We say to the children, hey, we've been sharing Jesus with you the whole week. Do you want Jesus to be your special friend? And we pray with kids. It's a huge blessing. And I know that some of those children that make a commitment at Holiday Club, God is going to use them through the rest of their life. Maybe in massive ways. That might be a president of South Africa sitting right there, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old. Yeah, it's an important ministry, our young people. And then I'd get into trouble if I didn't mention Comrades Marathon. Those guys over there spearhead this thing. But it's a huge blessing. We get to bless people, and I've said a bit about this already. God's faithfulness through all of the years, seen through the buildings and how he's led and guided us, but seen through the people, God, this is what we need to rest our faith on, God's goodness. And I wanted to remind you of some of the highlights. There's lots more. 50 years, there's lots of stuff. But I wanted to just say, take note of some of these things, because God has done incredible things. He's done incredible things in our church. He's done incredible things in our own lives. And we've got to remember those things. Faith is not an experience, but a journey. Faith is not an experience, it's a journey. And we've got to remember where we come from. It strengthens our faith. And then faith. And we have to also remember where we are going. You know, Jesus called us to many things. And here's a couple. I'm about to land this plane. Love your neighbor as yourself. Do to others as you would have them do to you. This is often referred to as the golden rule. He even said that this sums up all the law and the prophets. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Give to the one who asks you and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. Clothe the naked, feed the hungry, visit the sick, care for those in prison. Forgive others as you have been forgiven. Serve others humbly. Follow the example of Jesus Christ. Jesus' ministry was about compassion, about care, about love, about helping, about being with people. And please don't forget his great commission, even though we don't have pews to remind us, go and make disciples. So Moses or M had those great excuses. My call to you is to get involved in nation changes. That's what today's about. Don't make excuses. What is stopping you? Maybe it's one of those things that I've read this morning. Maybe it's something else. Don't make excuses. I'm going to be at the back. Come and sign up with me. It's a huge blessing to serve others. There's something for everyone on those forms. You'll notice there's not prayer. Okay? Because I really believe we all should be praying into every single one of those. So what I'd like is, if you don't have one of these little flyers, grab one today when you're leaving so that you can pray through those different missions. You cannot imagine how many lives are touched because of what we're going to do. So grab one of those, pray for those missions, and then also pray, how am I going to be involved? Lord, what is it that you want me to do this year? It's a couple of hours commitment, not massive, but it makes a huge difference to those who we serve.